I love that hymn that we started off the year with. On Christ the solid rock we stand. We did a week of prayer and fasting to start off the year just to kind of remind ourselves that we need to build our lives not on our own agendas, not on our own, according to our own wisdom or in our own power, but saying, God, we want to rely on you for everything. I love that song. I love that just that way to start off the new year. Well, another thing that we want to do to start off the new year, the way we try to start off every month, is by taking a missions offering. That here at Hope Chapel, we don't pass the plate every week. We take a missions offering on the first Sunday and a stewardship offering on the third Sunday. And then the other Sundays, we have a little black box in the back between the doors that people give through their tithes, give of their tithes and offerings, or they do that online, electronically. But we like to celebrate giving. We like to celebrate giving to missions. Because this is a core part of who we are as a church, that we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be spread around the world. We believe that this is a treasure that we are meant to share with those around us, whether those that are close here in the United States or to the far reaches of the globe. That here at Hope Chapel, we have two arms of our missions agency. We have Kingdom Builders Local, which is everything stateside within the United States. And then we have Kingdom Builders Overseas, which deals with all of the foreign country missions that we participate and partner with. So this morning, as the ushers would come, I just want to pray over this missions offering. And then we have just a short video to show you a little bit of what your missions dollars go to. One of the ministries that we support is called You Matter Ministries. It's a ministry to the homeless and the impoverished here in Phoenix, just on West Van Buren Street. So you'll learn a little bit about more in a minute. But let's pray together. God, we thank you for your many blessings. God, we thank you that you have provided for us, that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And so, God, we give back of our tithes. We give back extra as offerings because we want to show that all that we have comes from you, and we want to participate in what you're doing. So, God, I pray, Lord, that you would take this offering. You would bless it. You would bless the missionaries that we support. You'd bless the ministries that we support, and that you would accomplish, in their lives and through them. We pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. My family has enjoyed going for the last couple of years. Just fourth Tuesday of each month, we head down there just to share some food and share a little bit from the Word of the Lord with some people who just have fallen on hard times. If that's something that you'd like to be a part of, you're invited to check it out. Like I said, fourth Tuesday of every month, meet over in the church house at around 1:30 to prepare the food, and then we head out around 4:30 to go down there. Well, if you have your Bibles today, open up to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We are continuing our series, our sermon series on stewardship. excuse me. If you remember from last week, we talked about how we want to kind of start this year off making sure that we are being good stewards of the resources that God has entrusted to us. And we talked a little bit about what a steward was. That a steward was, in medieval times, it was an individual who was put in charge of a castle or a kingdom or a region of a kingdom on behalf of the owner, the king, the baron, the duke, whoever, who was going off on some long trip. That if the king was going off to do diplomatic relations in another country, he would entrust the kingdom as he's gone, and sometimes for years, to another individual. And while that king or that ruler was gone, the steward would govern and would rule in his stead. But he would do so not according to his own agenda or not to enrich himself, but to be a faithful servant of the king, so that when the king returned, he could see what the steward had accomplished with his resource, with the resources that were entrusted to him. That this was an incredibly blessed position, that you got to be king for a day, if you will, But then also it was one where you recognize that there was some responsibility that came with it, that you were held accountable for how you performed, how you governed, because you were doing it in the name of the king. And how many of you know that as Christians, we are living in the name of our King Jesus? When we call ourselves a Christian, that is someone who is like Christ. That we are Christ's representatives. We are Christ's stewards here on earth. That how we spend our time, how we spend our talents or abilities, how we spend our treasure, which all of which comes from God, is a reflection on Jesus to the world around us. That we should use those things for his kingdom, for his glory, doing it in His name to bring Him glory to the world around us. Well, if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 25. This week we want to focus specifically on the idea of being good stewards of our talents. Before we jump in, let's pray over this passage of Scripture together. Heavenly Father, I just ask this morning that You'd send Your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Illuminate the meaning of Your word to us, that we might understand not just in our heads what it's saying, but in our hearts how You would have us to live it out. May this message be one that is spoken according to Your truth to accomplish Your will in our lives. Have Your way in us this morning. Transform our lives by the preaching of Your word this morning. It's in Your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. So Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14, the parable of the talents, it tells us like this: for it, talking about the kingdom of heaven, for the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and just hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter in to the joy of your master." And he who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want to take a few moments this morning and just walk through this parable. I think as we examine any parable of Jesus, we need to recognize that Jesus taught in parables for a couple reasons. The primary reason Jesus taught in parables wasn't just to communicate information. That you could make a simple statement like, everything you have comes from God and you need to use it according to His will. And just leave it at that. And that communicates the information. But a parable was told to make an impact. It's a story that the people would have been extremely familiar with. And so it's told not just to communicate information, but to elicit a response from the hearers. I would liken it to when a director of a movie makes a movie, just to create a response in the people, to try and impact the people to live differently. Or when a musician writes a song and the song isn't just for entertainment, it's to make an impact in the hearts and lives of the people who are listening to that song. Right? So that's what the purpose of a parable is. It's this form of almost entertainment, if you will. I mean, it's a story that's being told, a captivating story that the people would be intimately familiar with, so they would make an impact on their lives and how they live. So we start out just wanting to point out in those first few verses that the people during Jesus' time would be familiar with the idea of a ruler traveling and being gone for long distances. In our day and age, we might not be familiar with the concept of a steward, but this is something that they were very familiar with, that a ruler, someone who's in charge over a property, a household, whatever it might be, that was a common thing. So they understood the nature of stewardship. They understood the nature of being entrusted with something that was not theirs, but to be used for the benefit of the one who it belonged to. And obviously, in those cases, that would be a master who's when you benefited them, you'd benefit the members of his household, and you would be a member of that person's household in the same way that we are a member of the household of God. I think the second thing that we'd point out, when it talks about giving talents, I think if you ask yourself, what's a talent? In our day and age, we would all say what? It's like your abilities. Right? If you got skills, right? Like your talents, my talents, what you can do. When I was a kid, we would do talent shows at school, and people would ask what special talents you have. And I would always think of it as something like not just an ability, but something that was unique. You know, and I would always try and think, oh, what can I do that's unique? And to be honest, I didn't have a lot of unique talents. But I remember like there was like one weird thing that I could do. I remember I could hold my foot and jump and put my foot in front. I could like jump rope with my foot, you know. I would not even attempt to do that now because I would kill myself. But a talent is, it's not a unique ability. It's just an ability. It doesn't have to be special. It doesn't have to be different than anybody else. But it's the abilities that you have, right? But do you know that when we reference a talent as an ability, that you are using a biblical metaphor? That the word talent, historically, never meant one's ability until this parable. That a talent was a unit of measurement, specifically about weight, right? And those of you who know me know that I sometimes go on little rabbit trails. But what even is a unit of weight, right? Like we think of weight as being like some clearly defined like universal measurement. Do you know what a pound is? A pound is officially defined as 0.3 something 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 kilograms. Do you know what a kilogram is? Up until this year, a kilogram was just a specific piece of metal kept in a Bell vacuum jar in Paris. I actually have a picture of it. So that is a kilogram. That forever, a kilogram is just, they just decided, oh, this piece of metal, this is a kilogram. This is exactly what a kilogram is. A pound is 0.33, whatever. You know, that actually, it wasn't until this calendar year that scientists were able to change, they actually changed the definition of a kilogram from this piece of metal here to so many values of the Planck constant. So I don't even know what the Planck constant is, but those of you who are scientific, I thought maybe you'd appreciate that. But a talent had nothing to do with abilities until this parable. A talent was a unit of measurement. Specifically, it was a unit used to measure money, gold, silver. A talent was approximately 75 pounds. So when we read that the owner gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, 1 talent to another, it kind of just, we kind of understand, oh, he gave an amount of money, right? But a talent was a fortune, an absolute fortune. Do you realize what 75 pounds in gold would be worth today? $1.5 million, over $1.5 million, according to Friday's exchange rates. Right? A talent was worth 6,000 drachma in the biblical times. A drachma was a unit to pay kind of your skilled laborers, that a blue-collar worker would get like a half drachma a day, and like a white-collar or a skilled laborer would get like a full drachma a day. So if you're working in the fields, if you're working as a fisherman, if you're doing those things, you're getting half drachma. If you were working and had, you know, if you were an artisan or you had some special skills, maybe you're making a drachma. So if you do the math, it's between 20 and 50 years of wages, depending on if you're an unskilled or a skilled worker, and if you work like 5 or 6 days a week, right? So when a guy is given a talent, he's given a lifetime's wages. I mean, if you're working from 20 to 65, 45 years as a normal laborer, that's what a talent would earn you. I mean, this is a huge sum of money, millions of dollars that this master is giving to these servants. I mean, just let that sink in, that Jesus' audience, this would have been, just astounding. He was giving, $8 million to the one guy to put to work, and $4 million to another guy, and $1.5 million to another guy. I mean, he's giving these huge sums of money to these individuals. And we can see easily how this parable shifted from money to abilities, because how was the amount given to each one? Well, verse 15, tells us that the master gave each the talents according to each one's abilities. So we see that this parable as we've interpreted this parable over the years, we can see how that transition has happened, that as the one who had five talents was the one who was blessed with the most abilities. The one with two talents was blessed with some abilities, but maybe not as much. And the one who had the one talent maybe had the least high-level skills of the three individuals. But each individual was still given a huge amount of responsibility of things that he could do with it. As we continue walking through the text, as we look at verses 19 through 23, I want to point out that even though that the men were given differing amounts according to their ability, notice how each man, referring to the one with five talents and two talents, received the exact same compliment and a reward from his master, regardless of ability. That if you look in your Bibles at verses 21 and 23, they are identical to one another. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And when the one with two talents brings two more, he says the exact same thing. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." You see, God's not concerned with the level of your talent, the amount of ability that you have. He's concerned with what you do with it. Are you obedient to his will? Are you faithful with the amount that you've been entrusted with? Are you serving his kingdom? God doesn't care if you're the superstar all-star, or if you're just to use a sports metaphor, he doesn't care if you're the all-star or you're the bench player. Are you doing what you can do to contribute to the success of the team? As Christians, it doesn't matter your level of ability. You're rewarded according to your faithfulness and obedience to God and his will. So then we get to the servant who received the one talent. And think for a second. He who received the one talent came forward saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." When you understand the amount of wealth that was literally buried in the ground, I mean, just dug a hole and buried it. 75 pounds of gold buried in the ground, right? Does that strike you as a little ridiculous? Like why would you do that? That's nuts. You got this huge fortune given to you, entrusted to you to use for the master. Do something with it, right? Doesn't matter if you have all the skills in the world. If you put $1 million, right, in the bank, you're at least earning thousands of dollars in interest a year. So I mean, if nothing else, if you do anything with it, you're going to get a significant rate of return just because you've been given so much. So we understand a little bit more of the master's response of, "That's crazy. You wicked, lazy servant. Like, what were you thinking? You should have put it in with the bankers, right?" I don't know about you, but have you ever had one of those moments in your life where you just interacted with someone and they did something that was just so beyond comprehension? Like why in the world would you do that? It doesn't make sense. If you're a parent, you probably have experienced those situations as your kids grow up. There's some things that maybe after they give you an explanation, sometimes it's like, okay, it makes a little bit of sense. I was actually talking with my parents this morning, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to tell a couple stories, but I'm going to use the phrase a Hernando boy, right? Because I don't want to call any of my kids particularly on the carpet, and that way I could even be telling a story about one of my brothers or myself. Or in some cases, my father. Just being honest, my father has the best stories about crazy things he did as a kid. So I just have a quick story about a Hernando boy. I remember one of the Hernando boys, if you asked him to like bring you a glass of water, would always come and flick the water. I mean, just he'd be carrying the water, just flicking it, touching the water that you're drinking, flicking it, right? And you're thinking like, why are you doing that? Don't touch my water. That's gross. Like, you haven't washed your hands. Like, what? You know, apparently there was a video scene at one point of how flies would like land on water and lay eggs. So there was just this paranoid fear. So this Hernando boy was like, even if there's no flies around, I'm making sure no fly eggs right here. Maybe my dirty fingernails will be in it, but no fly eggs. There was another time we had a Hernando boy. We had a rule in our house that you're not allowed to go outside without shoes on. You know, because we'd get holes in socks like crazy. And so one of our boys was going out to empty the trash, and he didn't wear shoes. And so he's in a hurry, right? He's in a hurry to take out the trash. He knows he's supposed to be wearing shoes. And so instead of taking the trash cans, the cars were parked a distance apart where they were about that much narrower than the width of the trash can. And so he didn't want to take the trash can on the rocks because that would hurt his feet, and he's in a hurry, he doesn't want to get in trouble. And so this Hernando boy wedges the trash can in between the two cars to where it doesn't fit. And so instead of doing what we all would think would be logical, like unwedging it, this Hernando boy pulls the trash can the entire length of the cars. That if you look at my wife's minivan, to this day there is a dent rolling along that would have cost $2,200 to get fixed. So we just have left that rolling dent. I didn't even price for my car. I wasn't. But you hear those stories where you're like, why would you do that? Why would you pull the trash can? Just come inside and put the shoes on so you can walk on the rocks. Like, just why? It doesn't make sense. Anything would have been better than that. That's what the master is saying to this guy. Like, that's crazy. You buried $1.5 million in the ground? What if someone with a metal detector came around? Like, it could be lost, stolen, gone for good. You should have done anything but that. You should have known better. You were just being lazy, not wanting to take the little bit of work to do the bare minimum of putting it on deposit with the bankers. Verses 26 through 30, the master's response. I think at first it appears kind of harsh, but I think in reality it's just truth. It's just truth. That the master says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. That might sound harsh, but let's just be honest. If you have ability, if you have talent, whether we're talking about literal money, or if you have abilities that you've been blessed with, if you just bury them in the ground, if you don't use what you have, what's going to happen? The skills that you have, the talents, the abilities that you have, if you don't use them, if you don't practice them, if you don't put them to work, they're just going to fade. You're going to lose them. You know that if you're an athlete and you've developed an incredible ability and then you don't practice, it fades away. You know, if you're a teacher and you've studied and you've done all this work to be an expert in your profession, and then all of a sudden you quit reading, you quit staying current, your ability is going to fade away. If you're a businessman and you've developed all sorts of networks and you've built up your own business empire, if you will, if you built up a reputation for being a great businessman and with your clients, and then you just rest on your laurels, you quit working hard, I mean, your reputation is going to go downhill. Your business is going to go downhill. That if you don't use what you have, if you don't constantly put it to work and practice it and try and get better, you're going to lose it. I mean, if you're just coasting, right, you can only coast one direction, and that's downhill. That whatever you have, if you're not working, applying it, using it to the best of your ability, you're going to lose it. But then on the flip side, if you do your best with what you have, even if it's a little, you're going to be able to earn more, get more. If you put your skills to work and practice, you're going to get better at them. That the master is pointing out. And the same thing from a business world perspective. A boss, a CEO, a master, the employees that have proven themselves, they're going to get the promotions. The ones that are doing nothing, resting on their laurels, they're going to be out of a job eventually. I think this parable has some incredible practical spiritual insights for our lives. I think they're just, I mean, I almost don't even need to share them with you. You could probably connect the dots from point A to point B on your own. But give me just a minute to share, I think, three incredibly practical application points from this passage. I think the first is that as Christians, we should recognize that all of our talents have been given to us by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 tells us, "For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" The New American Standard Version of the Bible, I love the way it puts that first question. It says, "For who or for what regards you as superior?" What makes you better than anybody else? What makes you different or better? That if you have awesome abilities, if you have some great level of talent, did you do anything to get that? Your athletic ability, let's just be honest. When I was a kid growing up, I had awesome dreams of playing in the NFL one day. I could never make it. From about third grade through 12th grade, I poured my heart and soul in it. I can guarantee you that the guys playing in the NFL didn't work harder than I worked during those years. But the fact of the matter is, I just didn't have the level of physical talent that other people had. I just wasn't as fast. I wasn't as strong. I didn't have the level of endurance, whatever it was. There's different talent levels. I was better than a lot of other people, but there's a whole other level. Did they do anything? Do you do anything for your athletic ability? Do you do anything for your intelligence level? Do you do anything to be born with this kind of like perfect pitch that helps you be an amazing musician or your voice or anything like that? The talents and abilities that you've been blessed with, God created you with those. He knit you together. He gave you the abilities that you have. Don't feel like your level of talent, and I think that's a fair thing to say, that we can recognize that people do have different levels. They have different talents. They have different levels of ability. But don't feel like your level of talent somehow makes you better than anybody else. All it means is that this is a gift God has given you that He will hold you accountable for using for His kingdom. That it's not a case of, oh, because you can do more than another person, that means you're better than them. Maybe that other person is using their talents completely to their limit, and God really wants you to step it up a notch. I mean, you think about going back to money, the parable of the widow's mites. You know, Jesus pointed out that woman who put in the two little copper coins. He said she gave more than all of those people who were throwing in giant treasures, because she gave her all. She gave what she had to live on. So we need to ask ourselves, not how talented am I, how great are my abilities, but how am I using the abilities that I have for the kingdom of God? So recognize that your talents come from God. And that leads us to our second point, that you are judged not by the amount of talent you have, but what you do with that talent. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the second half of the verse tells us, "Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." Reminds me of one of my favorite movie quotes, Uncle Ben in the Spider-Man movie. "To whom much is given, It's escaped me. Help me out of it. Uncle Ben says to Peter Parker, with great power comes great responsibility. That's where it is. Okay, I needed the help. With great power comes great responsibility. To whom much is given, much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted with much, they will demand the more. That we need to remember that when, as stewards of the kingdom of God, as stewards of the abilities that God has given us, we need to say, am I using those abilities in a manner that is faithful, in a manner that is obedient, in a manner that brings him glory? Am I doing that? Leads us to our final point. That if we recognize that our talents come from God and that we're judged not by how much talent we have, but what we do with it, I think the logical conclusion is just to give all that we have to God. To give it all you've got. Colossians 3:23, Paul speaking to slaves, says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. That as Christians, we need to recognize that we need to get working. We need to start using the abilities that we have for the kingdom of God. Now, I think this is an area where our church does well in a lot of ways. You know, I think there are a lot of people. I was talking the other day with my wife on a Sunday morning, just the huge numbers of people that volunteer on a Sunday morning to help make a service successful. And we're so appreciative of all the people, whether it's the people up here who help us on the worship band, whether it's people who are in the sound booth, the media booth, helping in the coffee hut, ushers, greeters, gatekeepers, nursery workers, Sunday school teachers, kids workers. I mean, we have so many people using talents and abilities that God has given them. But on the flip side, I think there's always room for growth. And I think there are some people in the audience that, let's be honest, you might relate a little bit to the worker who received the one talent. Maybe you don't feel qualified to try and help or contribute to the kingdom of God. Maybe you feel like past mistakes have disqualified you. Maybe, I don't know what your thinking is, but you know that you have abilities that right now are being left untapped. And I want to encourage you, dig them up. Actually, I brought with me, I want to drive this point home. Brought with me a shovel. I've been using this shovel a lot lately, building or leveling the ground of my backyard for my kids' playground equipment. And it's amazing the kind of like stuff that you find when you dig. I discovered an entire patio under a level of dirt that I was digging up. I mean, you're talking like a couple $100 worth of stone, you know, that someone had bought and then just covered with dirt, right? There are people in this audience that you have some incredible talents that are just sitting there left untapped. That it's like you have this treasure buried in the ground just waiting to be dug up, to be put back to use. It's not too late. It's not too late. The master hasn't come back yet. You're still alive. You're still kicking. You're still breathing. If you have abilities that you have felt a call on your life by God to use, if you have untapped gifts that you've never considered using for the kingdom of God, dig up that treasure. It's like having $1 million in God's eyes that you are just leaving buried in the ground doing nothing with. Doing nothing with. That I want to encourage you, church. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Let him tell you, you are my servant. I want to do great things through you. I have given you, I have blessed you with immense treasure in the abilities that you have. And I want you to use them for my kingdom. I want you to be a faithful servant that I can say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little. I want to give you even more. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now, some of you might struggle to think, well, I don't know. I don't know where... excuse me, what my talents are, or how I can get plugged in, how I can help. Well, let me just tell you a little bit. We have lots of it. It doesn't have to be just at this church. I mean, there's lots of parachurch organizations or ways that you can reach out to your neighbors that are awesome too. But just at our church, we're always looking. We're always looking for people to get plugged in. Are you, excuse me, can you smile? We always got some good positions for ushers, for greeters, for coffee hut people. Do you like coffee? Man, I'll tell you what, we just got a new coffee hut. Meredith, thank you so much for serving in the coffee hut. She and my wife, Amy, they've been doing some work in the coffee hut. Man, some great things are going on in the coffee hut. Using that as a great first impression. If you like making coffee, if you're like a barista at heart, man, we could use you. Are you good with computers? Are you good like a task-oriented person? Can I tell you that when I came on as the pastor of Hope Chapel, we had to make some financial decisions and we had to let our secretary go? We are desperate for help doing admin stuff. Like if you are good with computers and you want to help out, man, we would love for you to help out in the office, help out doing admin stuff. Have you never thought about going on a missions trip because you didn't feel qualified or had the right abilities? After church this morning, we're going to have a meeting. And I'll tell you what, we have a missions trip that we mentioned that there's room for at least 25 people. And I think some people were worried that we might run out of spots. I hope we do run out of spots. Right now, we got 3 people who've said, yes, I want to go for sure. You know, so we got 22 more spots. I mean, I think my wife and I, we've got a couple other people that have expressed strong interest. They just haven't signed on the dotted line yet, you know. But come, check it out. I mean, that's a missions trip where, man, if you love God and you're willing to try and love his people, like those are the only qualifications that we need. You know, just have a teachable spirit, love God, love people. And hey, we're going to be doing this 3-pronged approach of we're going to try and love on kids. If you like watching kids, we're going to try and love on all these young people. Polygamy makes lots of kids. So there's lots of kids to love on. Do you have an ability to do makeup? I see a lot of pretty faces in the audience today. A lot of people have done a good job with their makeup. You know what? We're talking, Chase, not you. I hope you're not wearing any makeup today. They were telling us about how, some of these ladies, because they weren't allowed to wear makeup, you know, that was one of the rules of Warren Jeffs, was that you couldn't wear any makeup. You had to never cut your hair, wear it down to like your knees, and never wear makeup. So these ladies, they're wanting, you know, the lady was telling us that some of them, they'll buy like eyeliner and literally like draw a circle around their eyes because they don't know how to use it. That you have the ability just to like say, hey, you know, this is a way that you can just show love and reach out and build a bridge to some people who have just lived in isolation from the gospel, have lived in darkness because of the cult that they've been in for so long, for their entire lives. You know, do you have a little bit of handiness? Can you pull weeds or fix a sink or you know, do any type of trades work? They're saying that a lot of these houses are in disrepair because if you left the FLDS church, that, you know, especially if you're a single mom and your husband of who still has 14 other wives stayed, you know, he's not helping you fix up your place anymore. So there's some incredible opportunities that if you would just be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, maybe this is a missions trip where you can use some of your talents or abilities for the kingdom of God. Pastor Japheth, if you and the worship team would come. When you came in this morning, you were given a little form about things that you have maybe been entrusted with. And just asking, do you want to use your talents for the kingdom of God? And there's a treasure chest sitting by the black box in the back. Just a reminder that you have treasure. You have fortune that God has entrusted you in the abilities that you have. No matter how great or how small you think they are, no matter how unique or common they are, God has blessed you with a fortune in the life that he has given you, the abilities that you have. Would you be willing to pray and think about how God might use you for his kingdom? Talents that maybe have been long buried, how you would dig them up and put them to work. I ask you as we sing this last song, would you pray about that? Would you consider filling out that card? And just one of the ministry leaders from one of the areas that if you choose to volunteer over them would love to get a hold of you, love to just give you a call and say, hey, these are some needs that we have. Would you be interested in possibly considering serving in this way? And then before I close, I also just want to speak to if there's anyone in the church this morning that you've come to church and you've heard this sermon on using your talents for God, but you've never given your life to the Lord. And I just want to tell you this morning that God loves you. He gave you the life that you have. He knit you together in your mother's womb and blessed you with a beautiful life. One created in the image of God with treasure in terms of the abilities that you have, the time that you have here on this earth. He's blessed you with that. And he wants you to have an abundant life. But as Christians, we believe that the only way to have an abundant life, the only way to live out the life for which we were created to have, is in relationship with Jesus. That God did not create us to do just our own things, to use our talents just for whatever we want. He created us to live in relationship with our Creator, to bring glory to Him. And so if you are interested in giving your heart to Jesus, if you're interested in just saying, God, I want to know you better. I want to accept you as my King, as the Lord of my life. I recognize that all I have comes from you. I want you to forgive me of the mistakes that I've made. I recognize that you paid an incredible sacrifice when you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. If you want to accept him as Lord and Savior, I invite you. I'm going to be standing just right by the communion table over here. I'd love to pray with you. Pastor Dan, if you just stand over here as well. Man, we'd love to pray with you during this last song. If that's something, if you'd like to pray with someone about giving your heart to the Lord, we'd love to pray with you. So church, would you stand this morning? We just want to close with one more worship song. And I just want to give you that opportunity. Pray over these cards. Pray over if God would have you fill one of these out and drop it and get plugged in. Maybe use your talents in a new way for the kingdom of God. And if you're interested in giving your heart to Jesus, I invite you. I'd love to pray with you. Let's pray together. God, we recognize this morning that you love us with an incredible love. As we're about to sing, you love us with a reckless love. That you gave everything you have to let us know that you love us. And so this morning, Jesus, we declare that we want to give our lives back to you. We accept you as our Lord and Savior, and we want to give everything that we have, every talent, every ability, every moment of every day, all of our resources, we want to use them to bring you glory. We want to live in relationship with you, doing everything that we can to advance your kingdom and express our love back to you. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.